thought that the Lord has laid upon my heart. In fact, I told you last time I stood before you that God had given me four thoughts out of the first three chapters in the book of Genesis of gifts from God. And we looked at the guidance of light. Thank God for light in a dark world that we live in today. And we looked at that thought out of Genesis chapter number 1. And tonight I want to go a little further in Genesis chapter number 2. And not only a guidance of light, but a garden of labor. A garden of labor. And we're going to cover some thoughts on this tonight. In Genesis chapter number 2, we'll read with beginning with verse number 4. The Bible says, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Glad to, you know, I've got that settled in my heart right there. Amen? I didn't come from a monkey. Amen. We may monkey around sometime, but I didn't come from a monkey, and neither did you. If we evolved from the monkeys, then them old monkeys over in Africa and in the zoos, they got left out somewhere down the line, didn't it? I mean, they ought to be mad. But listen now. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground, God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Verse number 15. The Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Brother Conrad, would you pray for us tonight, brother? Yes. Yes, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Help us, Lord. Yes. Help us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Gifts from God. Now, tonight I want us to look at this thought of the garden that God gave. The garden that God gave. God formed Adam from the dust of the ground. And He furnished man with everything that he needed. Amen? You'll notice right here that before He placed Adam in the garden, that He already had every plant of the field and every herb of the field already there growing. And He placed Adam in this garden. And He gave him a labor to do. Amen? Now, I want us to look at this garden tonight and some things associated with Adam and his garden. And you think about tonight the garden that God has placed you in. Amen? That's my spiritual thought tonight, that we all have a garden to work in. Amen? And God is looking for some results. He's looking for us to produce something in our garden. Amen? Any of you ever had a garden? Anybody plant a garden every year? There's a few that does. You know, our forefathers, they depended much on a garden. I remember my mother talking about the garden that her daddy would plant. And I mean, they depended on it for life. I mean, that was their... They had to have it. They had to produce food for themselves. They didn't have any money. And it was a struggle for them just to get the fertilizer and the seed to have a garden and to plant it. And I guarantee you they prayed over God giving the increase too. And they were thankful for what God gave them. And when they sat down at a table to eat, they bowed their heads and they thanked God for giving them something to eat. And we ought to be a thankful people for what God's done for us. We take God for granted too often. Amen? We think everything that we got comes from me, me, me. But it don't. It comes from the Lord Jesus. Amen? God gives us everything. And God formed man from the dust of the ground. God furnished man with everything he needed and placed him in a garden there, as the Bible says right here. And he also fellowshiped with man. God loves to fellowship with His people. Amen. I tell you what, when you get close to God and you begin to call upon God and you want to draw nigh to God, I guarantee you your life will pick up. I guarantee you the blessings of God will pick up in your life when you want to be close to Him and have fellowship with Him. But let's look at this. There's four gardens that I want to touch on tonight. But this first garden right here, the Garden of Eden, as the Bible called it right here. The word Eden is translated Garden of Delight. The Garden of Eden, the Garden of Delight. It was a place that God placed Adam. I believe this garden was a place of great, great beauty. Can you imagine this world when God created it? Have you ever been to places and saw some sights of this old world and it just kind of took your breath? Places that man hadn't defiled and man hadn't changed and God just made it certain ways. And boy, I can go to the mountains and I can look out at the mountains and just see the glory of God all over them. And I can look at them mountain streams just running clear as a crystal and I think, man, that's beautiful. When God created this old world right here, He did a great job of it. And Adam was very fortunate that God created him and He placed him in a garden that was perfect. It was beautiful. There was great bounty in this garden. He had everything he needed right at his hands. He had the blessings of God all about him. He had the fellowship with God every day of his life there. What a blessing. It was a place of perfection. You know, this old world that we live in today is filled with trouble. And it's getting darker and darker, and man's getting more and more wicked, it seems like. But I'm glad that God has promised us that when all these things begin to come to pass, He tells His children, look up. Look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. And I'm encouraged, even though this old world is so dark and so wicked, I can say tonight I'm encouraged because I know I'm a child of God and I know my redemption's drawing nigh. And I know if it comes at midnight, if it comes in the morning or midday, hey, I'm going home to be with Jesus. He's got a place prepared for me. Notice He planted this. He in verse number 8, notice this right here. And the Lord God planted a garden. And He put man in this garden whom He had formed. God planted this garden. God placed Adam in this garden. And notice in verse 15 it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. Look at this. To dress it and to keep it. Dress it. I remember a few years ago, I planted me a garden. Not a big garden. It was a small garden. But, you know, it was work. It was work. In this old world that we live in, it's either too hot or too cold or too wet or too dry. And you just have to kind of work at it yourself, you know, when you got opportunity to. But I noticed something about this garden. It was work. And if you're going to have a garden, you're going to have to work it. You can't just get out there and plant it. You know, let's just take Adam's garden, for instance. He didn't have weeds to deal with. Amen. He didn't have thorns. He didn't have thistles. And he never even broke a sweat. I mean, his work was enjoyable. It was God's garden. It was God's man, and God placed him in the garden. And I believe Adam was just happy as a cow in clover. I believe he enjoyed the labor that God gave him. And let me say something. Hey, when you're right with God and God's got you working, He's got you serving Him, you ought to be happy. You ought to be joyful that God has chosen you and placed you in His garden and put you to work. Oh, Lord, don't we grumble and complain, though. When the preacher needs somebody to volunteer for something, you see people go sliding down in the pew. Amen. Hey, we ought to be just looking for something to do for the Lord. He's done so much for us, hadn't He? Amen. God's been good to us. And we ought to be willing workers for the Lord. You see, God had a work for Adam to do. And Adam had a walk with God is when he's in the garden. God walked with him daily, I believe. God talked with him daily. God had a word for Adam. And it was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity and thing for Adam to do here. But the word that God had for him, it was a word of warning. A word of warning. You see, when we're working in God's garden, there's some things we better watch out for. Amen? Amen. There was a command given down here. It said, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And we're going to, the next time probably, or later on, probably a couple of lessons down the line, we're going to talk about that. About this tree and about this thing that Adam did. But there was a command that was given right here and a caution that was given to Adam. And we know that Adam and Eve failed in the garden. And we also know that in Genesis chapter 4, this right here is what God had to say about this failure, this fall. He said, and unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. You know, work is something that God requires of us. Amen. And, you know, somehow or another in our society today, you know, when just looking back at our parents and in the days that they came along, you know, they was glad to work. They was glad to have a job. Times was hard. And if they had a job making a quarter a day or 50 cents a day, they was glad to have it. But we live in a day when everybody wants a paycheck, but nobody wants to work for it. Amen. Let me say that again. Everybody wants a paycheck, but nobody wants to work for it in the day we're in. But let me tell you something. There ain't no free rides. There ain't no free rides. Somebody has got to pay if you're going to ride. Amen? I don't know where all that come from, but it's true. So in this first garden, the great blessings of God and what God had for Adam and him to do became a garden of disobedience. God commanded. God warned. He told Adam, you know, what to do and what not to do. He said, dress it and keep it and keep away from some things. Ain't that kind of like what God tells us to do? Things in our life we better stay away from. Amen. Does it get us in trouble? But we know the story, how Adam and Eve failed. They took of that forbidden fruit and how God had to kick them out of the garden lest they get to the tree of life. And sort of sad story there, because it plunged all mankind into sin and in depravity and in need of a Savior. But I'm glad God had a plan. God's never been defeated. God's never been perplexed. God knows exactly what's going on in this old world. And He's got a way made for mankind. But I want you to notice something right here. I'm talking about our garden, about us being God's garden right here. I want you to turn in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9. And I want you to mark this in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9. The Bible says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." This word husbandry right here is translated garden. Ye are God's garden. And He says that we're laborers together with God. Can I ask you something tonight? How's your garden? We are created unto good works. And God is looking for some good works out of you and me. He's looking for, He gave His very best for us. He bought us. We no longer belong to ourselves. He purchased us with His precious blood. And He lives in us through the Holy Ghost. He's given us a Bible, a roadmap to get us through this life and to keep us out of trouble. And let me tell you something, friend. God is looking for us to do some production, some producing, some fruit. Amen. Can I tell you something tonight? I was reading after a fella, and he said this right here. Nobody can do everything. Talking about the church house now. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. He said, you don't have to do everything. Just do something. You hear what I'm saying? And as he goes on, he says, if everybody does something, everything will get done. Amen. That's good, isn't it? That's some good thoughts right there. And so look, if we're laborers together with God, if we're God's garden, and God is working in our life, and we realize that we're working for the Lord, then let's bear some good fruit. Let's do some good works. Let's make ourselves available. When's the last time that you really felt like you were a debtor to the grace of God and you said, Lord, I wish You'd just use me some way? Amen. You might say, well, I don't know a thing in the world that I can do. When's the last time you got a burden to pray? You can pray. You can praise. You can worship. Hey, listen, you can be faithful, can't you? Amen. God's looking for some faithful people that's willing to do what He would bid them to do. He's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. Amen. Listen, God, if God is laboring together with us, He's not gonna put us somewhere where He's not gonna be there with us. He'll supply every need that we have according to His riches and glory. The talents that God gives you, use it for His glory. Ask Him. Ask Him to use you. Don't try to shirk the duties that God would send your way and have you to do. You know, I remember when I had a garden. I got tired of cutting okra. I mean, there's so much okra, you know, you get tired of cutting it after a while. Sister Vicki come over there and cut some okra one time, didn't you? You know, it'd be good in our lives if our garden was producing enough that we could share with somebody. Amen? You know, I was talking to my brother Jerry back there one Sunday, and we got to talking about the Bible and about the Word of God, and I remember making the statement that I feed off of you. You know, when you get to fellowshipping with a brother or sister, and the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God gets to moving, it's a joy. And you feed off of each other. Amen? You never know when you go to somebody and you shake their hand, you try to encourage them. Maybe you know they're going through a trial or some trouble, friend. You never know what you can do to help that person, and just a pat on the back, or tell them, "I'm praying for you. I love you. I know what you're going through, and I'm here for you." That's the kind of person God would have us to be. A visit to the sick, a prayer for somebody that's in need, or, you know, there's so many things that we can do if we're just willing. We're God's garden. We ought to be producing something. You know what I found out about gardening too? Weeds. I found out you don't have to plant weeds. You don't have to go to the store and get you a sack of weeds and plant them. You go get you some peas, you get some okra, get you some beans, and you go set it out. Yeah, your garden's just as pretty as it can be. You got your rows laid out and you plant it. And then you come back 3 or 4 days and you're looking for your beans to come up, and Lord, everything's scattered out every which way, popping up. It comes out that it's crabgrass, thistles, and all that junk. You know what you have to do if you're going to have a decent garden? You're going to have to do some weeding. Anybody know anything about that? That's the way it is in a Christian's life. Amen. I found out if I go out there and work that garden every day, it was a whole lot easier. Amen. That's the way it is in the Christian life. You let it go too long and the weeds will come up and start choking out the good plants. Amen. You have to do some weeding. I find out in my life, if I'll examine myself on a daily basis and look at the things that God ain't pleased with, and if I go to plucking some things out and doing away with them and letting them die, then my life is a whole lot better, and my fruits are a whole lot better, and I can do some things for the glory of God. Weeding. It's work. But there's a joy. There's a joy when you got a good garden growing and you're producing something. Good tomatoes. And I don't like cucumbers, but some people do. Tomatoes and beans and okra and squash. Boy, it's just, you know, there's something just enjoyable about it when you've worked hard and you've labored, and then you see the fruits of your labor. Same way in the Christian life. It's a joy to serve God. It's a joy to be right with God. And realize that God's hand's upon you and God's using you. I challenge you tonight to be that garden that God's pleased with, producing fruit. First garden. But now notice this, and quickly we'll move through these other gardens, but let me ask you, how's your garden tonight? Think about it. How's your garden? Did it need weeding? Need some work? Secondly, I want you to notice this, the second garden. The first garden was the garden of disobedience. The second garden is the garden of obedience. The garden of Gethsemane. Where the Lord Jesus Christ, you can find it in the Gospels, this word Gethsemane means oil press. Where they pressed the olives and squeezed out the olive oil from the olives. It was a garden where the Lord Jesus Christ often went to pray. If you study your Bible, you'll find that. But this particular time that Jesus went into Gethsemane, it was different. He was in agony. He was in sorrows at this particular time. He was about to go to Jerusalem to be crucified, to give His life a ransom for the likes of you and me. He was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled by sin. Yet He was willing in the garden to take that cup. You read your Bible, you'll find that Christ prayed, "Lord, dear God, Father, if it be possible, Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. What was this cup? This cup that Christ was about to take was the cup of the sins of the whole world. And I can tell you, when you look in that cup, you'll find you and you'll find me and you'll find you and your sins and my sins. But Jesus was willing to, hey, go through the agony. His sweat became as great drops of blood. He was filled with sorrows there. Isaiah said he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he bore our sorrows. He was willing to, though. The Bible says that he was made to be sin who knew no sin. Not made to be a sinner, but made to be sin. He never knew sin. Never. The Holy Lamb of God, though, was willing to let all the sins that I committed, that you committed, be placed upon Him. All of my guilt, all of my sin and your sin was placed upon Christ to pay a debt that He didn't owe. But He was willing. This second garden, garden of surrender to the will of the Father. Not only that, but it was a garden where He was all alone. Sometimes in the Christian life, you'll feel all alone. Sometimes you're going to have sorrows. Sometimes you're going to have a load on you. But the Lord Jesus Christ will always be with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And He'll help you bear them all. He was alone in this garden. The Bible says when Judas came to betray Him at this garden, they arrested Christ there, and the Bible says that His disciples fled. Don't go running out on Christ when things get tough. There's going to be troubles come your way. There's going to be sorrows to come your way and my way. But that's no time to turn and run. That's the time to draw nigh. Stand tough and serve the Lord. The second garden, the garden of obedience. I'm glad He was obedient. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He was the only way. Thank God He was willing to go. But I want you to notice not only the second garden, but notice this third garden. If you'll turn with me in the book of John, in the book of John, chapter number 19. In John 19, I hear your pages rattling. Are you there? John 19, Christ is crucified, mocked, scourged, spit upon, beaten till He didn't even resemble a man. There on the cross He cried, it's finished. He gave up the ghost. Verse 41. Verse 40 says, then took they the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where He was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre, where was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. In this garden, place where Christ was crucified, where He was crowned with thorns, and where He cried out, it's finished, and there He gave up the ghost to buy our salvation. Shed His blood there for you and I. Think about this garden right here. Not only was He crucified there and all His enemies thought they'd done away with Him, but in this same garden where they crucified Him, there was a sepulcher that was borrowed for Christ. They took Him there and they laid Him in the tomb. They sealed it there and they made sure
made sure that his body couldn't be stolen. But let me tell you, friend, in this garden right here, when they planted the body of Christ, there was going to be a coming up morning. And on that third day, friend, when they went back to look to the body of Christ and to anoint him with spices, he was not there. He was risen from the dead. Hey, he came up that third day victorious over the grave, victorious over death, and he offers that life, that same life to you and I. In Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 18, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ has got the keys of death and hell. And I'm glad I'm locked out of hell. Amen. I can't go to hell. Hey, I like that song them young'uns sang. I'm not going to hell. Boy, what a wonderful day when the Lord saves somebody and they realize that they ain't got to die and go to a devil's hell. That was one thing that just worried me to death, friend, when I was a lost man. I was living wickedly. I was living sorry. But every once in a while, I'd get to thinking about where I was headed to when I died. Oh, I'd get to thinking about dying and going to a devil's hell. Let me tell you, keep me from sleeping at night. Oh, let me tell you something, friend, but now, hell, hey, I ain't got to worry about going to hell because Jesus died. He paid my sin debt and he came to me one day when I was walking in darkness. I was living in darkness. I wasn't looking for him, but he come a looking for me, glory to God. And he gave me a chance at life. And when I cried out to him, oh, he took me in. Oh, he washed me from my sins and he wrote my name in heaven's book. What a Savior we have. In that third garden, he gave his life. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't keep him. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive today. I'm glad I know him. I'm glad I can talk to him. I'm glad he talks to me. Oh, listen to me. I'm glad that he put the Holy Ghost in me. Hey, let me tell you something. What a joy it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's three gardens. Now let's look at this fourth garden. Adam, through his disobedience, he lost that glorious garden of Eden. He was cast out. But I want you to notice this fourth garden. It doesn't even say garden in this passage of Scripture right here, but in Revelation chapter number 22, I think we'll see right here a garden of restoration. The garden city, as we might look at it. Everything that Adam lost through disobedience, through the Lord Jesus Christ's death on Calvary's cross, restored what Adam lost to mankind that's saved by grace. John saw it right here. He said in verse number 1 of chapter 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on the either side of the river was there the tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. If you look back in Genesis chapter number 3, when God took Adam and shut him out of the garden, the tree of life, he mentions, was there to keep him from the tree of life. And here in the garden city, we'll have access to the tree of life, which bears all manner of fruits. There shall be no more curse. You find in Genesis chapter 3 that God placed a curse on this old earth. And there ain't nothing but trouble, friend. Let me tell you something. Man has not evolved into something higher thing, but he has devolved. Amen. But over there, in heaven's land, there'll be no more curse. No more curse. No more thorns, no more thistles, no more sickness, No more sorrows. No more graveyards. No more hospitals. No more doctor visits. Everything will be perfect over there. Everything will be restored. All because of the Lord Jesus Christ. No more getting up in the morning going to work. Amen. Somebody ought to be shouting right there. Amen. Well, I tell you, heaven's going to be something else. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, worship Him. I tell you, there's nothing like being in a good worship service when the Holy Ghost of God's moving. Can you imagine when we get there with the angels of glory, the Lord Jesus, God the Father, the worship service we're going to have over there? We can't even imagine what it's going to be like. When heaven's choir begins to sing, my, my, what a day that's going to be. When we see our loved ones that went on before us, be reunited with them. When we get to see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the old saints of old gathered around the throne of God, we'll see Jesus. It says in verse 4, and they shall see His face, His name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, no need for candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. He said unto me, these sayings, listen to this, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servant the things which must shortly be done. I close with this verse. Behold, this written in red in my Bible. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Thank God that I'm His garden. Amen. I thank God that He thought enough of me to save me. And He calls me His garden.